Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. We are going to release the podcast a little early this week because of the events that have happened, specifically events that happened on Tuesday night and Tuesday afternoon as President Trump met with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. He met in Washington. They met together along with various other people from their staffs. And as I listened to the news on Tuesday night, it blew my mind. And I figured I just had to talk about it. So we're going to talk about it a little bit on the podcast. We've done these Israel updates before as the war in Gaza was happening, certainly a lot hotter than it is happening today. But nevertheless, the war is still ongoing in the sense that there are still hostages being held in Gaza. There are still IDF, Israeli Defense Force troops in Gaza. And so the war is still going on from that perspective, although it's not nearly as hot as it once was. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll notice that I am ready to go for the Super Bowl this coming Sunday, Eagles versus the Chiefs. I just got done giving my prediction to our church staff, and so I may as well give it to you here because this podcast is called Eagles on the Hill for a couple of reasons. One is the scriptural verses about the Eagles are just all over the place. God loves the Eagles. But also because, that's my favorite team, if you know me. So here's the prediction. The prediction is that the Chiefs score no touchdowns. They simply will be denied by the very best number one defense in the league. However, Harrison Butker, the very best kicker in the league, will kick three field goals, the longest of which will set a record for the longest field goal in a Super Bowl, and the Chiefs will score 9 points altogether. On the other hand, the Eagles will, I believe, score 55 points. That's my prediction. In honor of Brandon Graham, BG, one of the all-time favorite Eagle players and the person who's played the most games in Eagles uniform ever, Brandon Graham. And our hope is that he makes it back for the Super Bowl and can play. He's out injured. He's been out injured for the whole second half of the season. So there you have it. 55-9, that's my prediction. We'll see if I'm right. And if I'm right, Josiah Yonke, who's on our staff, who's a great Dallas Cowboy fan, you know how we love the Cowboys. Josiah has said that he will wear my Reggie White jersey if I am correct and the Eagles win 55-9. So we will see how that all turns out. But that's all just good fun. But back to the topic of the day, which is President Trump's shocking announcement on Tuesday. A couple of pieces to the announcement. First of all, he said that we're going to remove all the Palestinians from the Gaza Strip because it is a basically demolition zone. That's number one. Where he's going to put them, I have no idea. But he's saying that that Jordan and Egypt should take them. And of course, Jordan and Egypt are saying they're not going to take them. We'll look at the map later in a little bit and figure that out and tell you why they're saying that. And then he says the United States is going to own the Gaza Strip. We're going to own it. I don't know who owns it today. No, I don't know. I guess Hamas. I don't know who owns it today. But we're going to own it. And we're going to go in there and clear out all the unexploded ordnance. We're going to clear out all the rubble. And we're going to make it into, what did he say, the Monte Carlo or something of the Mideast. I don't even know what that is exactly. But I would interpret it. I don't know. I'm sure Trump has been to Tel Aviv. But the Tel Aviv of the Middle East. We'll look at the map and see where Tel Aviv is and talk about that a little bit. So anyway, wow, blow your mind kind of announcement. And I thought we should take a look at that and see what the story is. So how about we do this? How about we put the map on the screen and give a little story of where we're at here? So what's happened, you can see if you're watching on YouTube, the Gaza Strip down in the southwest corner, right on the Mediterranean. It is a gorgeous area on the Mediterranean. It does have the potential to have a bunch of Trump towers there and be a vacation destination for sure. And that's how Trump thinks, I guess. I don't know. I'm not saying pro or con for President Donald Trump, but this idea is certainly by all accounts, outlandish. And we'll see if this happens. It would be a miracle. It would be a total miracle. So anyway, let's talk it through. So the Gaza Strip's on the Mediterranean coast. Who lived there years and years ago, biblical times, is Goliath, the Philistines. That's who lived there. That's where Palestine gets its name from, the Philistines, who lived on the coast there in five major cities. Some of them are no longer in the Gaza Strip. They're just north of the Gaza Strip. For instance, Ashkelon is a city in Israel now, but it was a Philistine city back in the day. But beautiful cities on the coast. If you're looking at the map, Tel Aviv is 25 miles north of the Gaza Strip. You can't get there directly. That's as the crow flies. Today you have to drive around all kinds of ways, but it's 25 miles away. Tel Aviv, if you've been there, if you haven't been there, I should say, it's often described as the San Francisco of the Middle East for a particular reason, and not that it's full of homeless people or whatever, which is kind of what San Francisco has become known for today. But Tel Aviv is known for, it is the LGBTQ capital of the Middle East, if you will. So that it is a city where if you are, consider yourself part of the LGBTQ plus movement, if you will, that is a very good place for you to live, is Tel Aviv. Very modern, progressive city. So it's truly amazing then, if you know that, to see protests against Israel, the one place where LGBTQ people and those who kind of want to identify as LGBTQ can live openly, proudly, out and proud, is in Tel Aviv. In that way, it's very much like San Francisco today in the United States. So to see, Queers for Palestine kind of protest happening, no, LGBTQ people cannot live publicly in Gaza or in the West Bank, but they can live certainly out and proud in Tel Aviv. So Tel Aviv is a beautiful city on the Mediterranean, and Trump, I think, wants to make Gaza into kind of a large Tel Aviv, if you will. Put a bunch of hotels up on the beach and say, everybody's welcome, here we go. So anyway, so back in biblical times, Philistines lived in Gaza and the surrounding areas, and Jews lived in what would be modern day Israel and West Bank, or Judea and Samaria, as the Israelis refer to it. All right, so October 7th happened. Well, let's go back before October 7th. So Israel, in 2005, I believe, give or take a year, Israel pulled out of the Gaza Strip. If you listen to previous podcasts, you know that. They uprooted every Jew that lived in the Gaza Strip and took them forcibly, in some cases, back to Israel. They dug up all the Jewish graves in Gaza, brought them back to Israel, and reburied them. There was not a Jew left, living or dead, in Gaza as of 2005. Hamas, well, at that time, the Palestinian Authority was in charge. Hamas won elections in 2007, I believe. And ever since then, Hamas has been ruling in the Gaza Strip, and not just as a external power, but elected by the people. So the people are on the side of Hamas by and large. That's the thing we have to understand as we get to modern times. On October 7th, Hamas invaded Israel. I've heard it called the worst slaughter of Jews since the Holocaust. I think that's accurate. I've heard it called a pogrom. I think that's accurate. They went in and did unspeakable things. And not just Hamas soldiers, but civilians from Gaza as well went in and did unspeakable things to the Jews living in what's called the Gaza envelope, the area right around Gaza. Most of the people who lived in that area right around Gaza would consider themselves leftists, would consider themselves, and wear it as a badge of honor, a peacenik. They were very much in favor of living in peace with the Palestinians in Gaza, unlike others in Israel. Those people that live right on the border there were very much in favor of living at peace. They had lots of interactions prior to October 7th, 2023 with Gazans. It's those people who were slaughtered. It's those people who were taken captive and are still held hostage in Gaza, although gradually, slowly, Israel is getting those hostages out. So that's where we stand today. Trump takes office, and as he typically does, especially in the second term, talk about upsetting the apple cart. He brings Netanyahu in as the first foreign dignitary to visit, the foreign head of state to visit in Washington since he became president again, and meets with Netanyahu for a day and comes out and gives this press conference where he talks about, A, removing all the Gazans from Gaza and sending them to Jordan or Egypt. We'll talk about that. And B, the United States then owning Gaza and reconstructing it as kind of this international area or something. Some people are playing checkers and Trump is playing chess, and you never know where that's going to go. So what makes the idea so challenging? Well, here's what makes the idea challenging. Number one, other countries, there's no other country in the world, including all the Arab countries, including Jordan and Egypt, which is the two that Trump's named. No one wants those Palestinians in their country. You might say, why? I mean, other countries, people are happy to take in refugees. If you've seen the pictures of Gaza, it is just demolished. Who can possibly live there? And any other refugees countries would take in. Why are countries unwilling to take in these refugees? Or if you don't call them refugees, unwilling to take in the Palestinians who live in Gaza. Well, here's why. Some small percentage of Palestinians who live in Gaza are not Hamas supporters and are just suffering immensely. The majority, I think the last numbers I've seen are 70-75% of those living in Gaza currently, the 1.7, 1.8 million living in Gaza currently, the majority of those people support Hamas, even though their country has been destroyed by Hamas. The majority support Hamas. Believe it or not, the majority look around. Now, you go look and see the pictures. It's just demolished. The majority believe that Hamas won. So think about that for a moment. The majority of people living in Gaza believe that Hamas won and are excited to keep going with what's been happening. That is just shocking to us in the West. It is not shocking when you have been raised your whole life to believe that your purpose on earth is to annihilate the Jews. Not everyone in Gaza believes this, okay? So I don't want to paint every single person with a broad brush. But the majority of Gazans have been raised and believe that their purpose on earth is to destroy the Jews and to die in the process, to become martyrs for the faith. And they will go to heaven because of being a shaheed, a martyr. And so they are happy to die for the faith. I feel personally horrible for those Gazans who do not believe that. There's Christians living in Gaza who do not believe that. There's Muslims living in Gaza who do not believe that. But they are the minority, and my heart aches for them. It's what's moving Trump's heart to say, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. Why don't we just move you out? And some would probably go, I'll sign up for that. I'll move out. But others, why would we move out? We're winning. Why are the other nations not going to take them? Jordan in particular. Jordan has a large population of displaced Arabs from 1947, 48, from 1967. So from the various wars that have happened there, Jordan has a number of displaced Arabs, Palestinians who live there. And the Hashemite kingdom in Jordan is, it could be toppled any day. And so you bring another, million Palestinians in to the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. And the king of Jordan knows that his kingdom will likely be toppled if he does that. So he's not willing to accept these refugees. Well, not they're not refugees right now. They're living. They're happy to live in Gaza. Again, the majority, not the minority. And my heart goes out to the minority for sure. So Jordan doesn't want to take them because Jordan knows, the king of Jordan knows if he takes them, likely he'll no longer be king. Egypt does not want to take them. Why? Because where did Hamas come from? Hamas came from Egypt. Hamas, there was a group called the Muslim Brotherhood that began in Egypt in the 20th century. And Hamas is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is outlawed in Egypt, is banned in Egypt, although it exists, but it's banned because they want to overthrow the government of Egypt. What would Hamas want to do if it went to Egypt and joined forces with fellow Muslim Brotherhood adherents? Want to overthrow Egypt. And so the government of Egypt doesn't want the people either because they know that their government is at risk if they bring these people in. Of course, Israel is at risk because of Hamas. Everybody is at risk because of this theology, which is what it is. It's a worldview. It's a theological worldview that of the Muslim Brotherhood, which the way the Muslim Brotherhood appears in Gaza is through Hamas. Nobody wants that in their country because they know it will completely destabilize their country. What will Trump be able to accomplish? I don't know. If he somehow gets other countries to take in these poor Gazans, the minority, and the majority who would foment rebellion wherever they go, if Trump gets other countries to take them in, I will be just, it would be more shocking than if the Eagles won the Super Bowl 100-0. That's how impossible this is. And yet, it might happen. Who knows? I cannot foresee a way that it would happen, but you never know. So anyway, that's kind of where it's at. And that's my, just to kind of bring you up to date on what Trump has said, how he's just kind of thrown a bomb into the mix of all this. And to give you a sense of who lives in Hamas, who lives in Gaza, how they view what's going on right now. So where do we as Christians come down on this? Number one, I would say I would encourage you to pray as a Christian specifically, especially for the Christians in Gaza. They do not subscribe to this philosophy, generally speaking, of anti-Jewishness in the same way that Hamas does. And so we want to pray for God's protection of those Christians, that somehow we could sort that out and perhaps give refugee status if those Christians want it, to get out of that mess and really have productive lives while on this earth, while looking forward to life forever in glory because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's number one. Number two, just as Christians, our heart should go out in particular to others who live in Gaza who don't subscribe to this visceral hatred of the Jewish people, who don't subscribe to the idea that, hey, look at all this, it's all been demolished, we're winning, but who just want to get on with life. And our thoughts and prayers, our hearts should go out to that segment of the population in Gaza. Then there's the segment of the population that believes they're winning, that believes this is all great, that is excited for the next Jew they can kill. How do you deal with that? How did we deal in World War II with Nazism, which produced the death of over 6 million Jews and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of others, people living the gay lifestyle, other minorities, people who were infirm? How did we deal with that Nazi philosophy, that Nazi religion, really? I think the same thing needs to apply as we deal with the religion of the Muslim Brotherhood, the religion of Hamas, which is not all Muslims, okay? So this is not an anti-Muslim thing, but it's an anti-religion that empowers, that emboldens, that really that Hamas lives by. We have to understand that this is a religious movement, and this is not just people who wish they had a Target and a Walmart to shop at, and if only they had a Target and a Walmart, they would be happy. This is not what's going on. And we need to be conscious of that. Pray for all the leaders of the region, the king in Jordan, the leaders in Egypt and the surrounding countries, Saudi Arabia, Trump, Netanyahu, and those who are opposed to Netanyahu in Israel, and the leaders of Lebanon and Iran, that they don't seek to get a nuclear weapon and destabilize the region even further. So we need to be praying for all these things, but doing this in a way that really we understand what's going on here in the region. So anyway, there you go. That's what I got for you. And we'll see. We'll pray for a miracle, because that's really what President Trump is talking about, is a miracle, that people could actually be freed from this religion, this this complete aberration of a religion that really is focused completely on annihilating another group, namely the Jews. They could be freed from that and be able to experience, not only a decent life here on earth, but have the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus, which is really what it's all about. So anyway, email us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Let me know your predictions for the game on Sunday. We'll see what happens. And remember that those who hope on the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. And so I like to end the podcast, especially this time of the NFL season, this way: fly, Eagles, fly. Go Birds.